Our text tonight is Romans 8:37 specifically, but we're going to read a little bit wider than that. I'm going to begin in verse 28, very familiar, to the end of the chapter. Romans 8:28 to the end of the chapter. And as you're turning there, I'm just reminded I did not coordinate in any way with John Falk, Reverend Falk, who preached this morning, and I happened to see those titles and said, we're speaking about some overlapping things here. Reminds me of what would often happen when Pastor Hollister was here in the morning and I would preach in the evening sometimes, and we never coordinated. We were totally uncoordinated. No, but we would often touch on very same similar themes. Romans 8:28. This is God's holy word. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he also called, those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's holy word. May he bless it to all of our hearts. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow before this profound statement that comes from Paul's pen, but that comes from you chiefly. Words unparalleled to encourage us even now, just now, as we heard in requests, as we heard in prayer. What a needy people we are. And what a great God and a great salvation we have. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's been much talk in recent years among Reformed folk about law and gospel, justification and sanctification, and the like. Some have expressed concern for compromising the purity of the gospel and have reminded us that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Others have expressed concern to affirm the third use of the law as guide for the Christian life and the need to emphasize the power of the gospel in transforming the life. Whatever sins we struggle with as Christians and whatever sufferings we endure as God's children, we all have the same problem, unbelief. That's always the basis, the root of our problem. We struggle to grasp that Christ really has paid the penalty of our sin entirely, and that we need but to trust in him and him alone. This judicial, this forensic aspect is particularly addressed in verses 31 to 34 that we just read. We also have a hard time trusting that our Savior is so much our Redeemer and Deliverer that he has broken the power of reigning sin, so that nothing in all of creation can defeat us. We need to believe. To believe, that's the cure to our ills, that whatever afflicts us, suffering, sin, injustices of all kinds, does not defeat us, but that God is so great and so good that He uses all things, all difficulties, to bring about the greatest good in our lives, so that we are here and now more than conquerors. Some Reformed people dismiss this as triumphalism, but that we are more than conquerors in Christ is what Paul teaches in verse 37. We are more than conquerors, we might say, answering a few questions. When, in all things, always. Secondly, how? Through Him. And thirdly, why? Because He loved us. We are more than conquerors in all things, firstly. Secondly, through Him. And thirdly, because He loved us. Well, we say we're more than conquerors in all of these things. Verse 37 says, it begins with that. And let's think a little bit about the context so we might understand what all these things would signify. Back in verse 28, a verse that we all know dearly and love, Paul had asserted that all things, that's an utterly comprehensive claim, work together for good. That God in all things works together for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Nothing is excepted from that. Even the most horrible of things, like the sudden death of someone, the serious illness or death of a child, the horrible breakup of a marriage, all the sin that I struggle with and too often succumb to, Romans 7. One is tempted and does at times, and I've certainly ministered to people in these circumstances, and we have been sorely tempted. Maybe more me. My wife seems just like a rock in all of this to me. But to say, when certain things come, no, not this. Not this. This is a bridge too far. But it's not. It's not. He may send many hard things our way, but in it all, He purposes to bring a beautiful thing, if I can put it this way, out of the smelly ingredients of our lives. You may have heard me use this illustration before. I'm getting ready at this time of year to make my gumbo, and it's a big ordeal. And you've got to get all these ingredients, and you begin making the gumbo. And in the beginning, as you're making the roux, and you know, you're cooking garlic, lots of garlic, and onions, and peppers, you know, it's like, oh, wow, this is some pungent stuff here. You know, we're going to eat this stuff? And then you put all kind of seafood in it, you know, shrimp and oysters. They're slimy, you know, put some oysters and other things in it. And the smell of all these things, and taking these things separately, and taking, you know, spices separately, just like, oh, well, this is good food. Here, let me eat a handful of basil. I mean, you don't want to do that. You take things like that, and they're not so good, but you let this thing cook. You let it meld. Cooking is that way. And what comes out can be something that's quite delicious. There's so many illustrations. You know, Edith Schaefer talks of the tapestry, and if you look at the back, you just see the stitching, or even if you look at it real close, like a big, like, you know, the bio tapestry, you can't really see what it's all about until you step back. Or you can go to the Art Institute and see Georges Seurat, the pointillist, in his Sunday afternoon on the Grand Jeté. You know, it's actually painted with points. It's just a bunch of points, like dots, dots, dots. So if you just go up and look at all these dots, you're like, this is ridiculous, this is nothing. And then you step back and you're like, wow, this is amazing. It's an amazing painting. That's something of the reality of our lives. Verse 31 to 39 develops this even further. 35 puts the question, shall anyone or anything separate us from the love of Christ? And the list is given, all of which Paul himself had suffered. And I have here in my notes, see 2 Corinthians especially, right? Paul had suffered all of these things except death. And then he said that he died daily. And there's the reality of verse 36. For your sake, we're being killed. He's quoting Psalm 44 here. We're being killed all the day long. And as you know, Paul says, I die daily. We're a sheep to be slaughtered. Do you know this in your own life? The seemingly endless challenges and disappointments of your own life. And here's where verse 37 comes in especially. It asks the question that has been being asked, but especially begins to be asked in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the list, we go through the list and even acknowledge that we're always perishing. And the answer here is a strong adversative. It says no. No. In all of these things, we're not conquered. No, we are more than conquerors. And it continues in this superlative, poetic, beautiful vein in the verses that follow until the end of the chapter, going so far as to assert that nothing in all of creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in creation can separate us from His love. Some see this as the high watermark of all of Paul's argument in this book thus far, if not in the Bible. It is a high watermark of the Bible. I remember reading years ago when I was a child about a person in Asia, in prison in China, when the communists came in. And they had scripture memorized, variety of places. And one of the things that gave them the very most comfort was this. Romans 8, you can imagine that. We're more than conquerors. When? Always. In all these things. Whether we see it or not. Whether we feel it or not. That's why it was good not only to have the little Pauline fest that we've had today with Falk and myself, but the little Cooper fest that we had in the music. We sang two Coopers. And Cooper knew what it meant to be in a place where you couldn't see or feel God's love and goodness. You were lost, you seemed to yourself, and yet you know it's true, and you affirm it, and that's right here. Notice this word that gets translated more than conquerors. It's an unusual word. It's challenging to translate. How does one translate this? One commentator renders it excessively victorious. Another notes, hate. This is a good one, I think. Hate can make a man a conqueror, can fill him with furious energy, but only love can make him more than conqueror. You can think of Nietzsche and his heirs, because this is a huper word, meaning above, or like Nietzsche talked of the huper, the Übermensch, the superman. And we've seen in the 20th century what these supermen are, like Hitler and Stalin and Mao. We've seen them filled with hate and what havoc they can wreak. But you see, this is the Christian filled with love, more than conquerors. And this observation, the true Christian way of living, the true Christian joy in living, comes to us not in spite of tribulation, disappointment, or even sin, but because of them. We have something left over when life and death have done their worst. When life and death have done their worst, we still have this. Murray, Moo, and others call this a felicitous rendering, they say, in the English, more than conquerors. Some even say it's an inspired in the lower case. It's a kind of inspired translation, and I do think it is a very fine translation. I could quote at some length Murray here, but he says this: too often we look upon the outcome of conflict with the forces of iniquity as a mere escape, perhaps by the skin of our teeth. In truth, it is victory. I mean, sometimes we feel like, oh, I barely made it through that. No, it's victory, and that not merely, but completely and gloriously. The designs of adversaries are wholly overthrown, and we come off as conquerors with all the laurels of conquest. That it is in all things, though, he says, is perceived only by faith. Again, in the flesh, we look at it and we just despair. We say, I hope this is clean. We don't say that, but we say this: I surrender. I give up. But in the Spirit, we are more than conquerors. Hodge says, they, that is all these things, are not only deprived of all power to do us harm, they minister to our good, they swell the glory of our victory. All the things that to you, that to me would bring us down, that would destroy us. Sometimes the enemy seems to whisper to us, our own flesh, the world says, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to get you. You're not going to make it. I'm taking you down. Think of this in the face of, maybe it's as simple as a mountain of bills, sickness, death, and the sin that clings so closely and that you battle so fiercely. You are more than conquerors in all these things. Well, we say, how? That's the sort of what and when. In all things, it's all times. How? Through Him. Notice the verse. In all these things, more than conquerors, through Him. The reference here is to the one who is our Redeemer, from whose love, verses 35 and 39, nothing can separate us. We're conquerors through Him from whom we cannot be separated. Some questions get raised here, of course. Some will say, it's interesting that questions like this get raised. Is it God the Father or Christ? This is clearly Christ because it's the answer to verse 35. 35 says there, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the goes on here to say, none of these things shall. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him. It's the Christ who is God and thus can bear the awful load of our sin and God's wrath against it, and who is man and who can keep the whole law for us that Adam and we failed to keep, the one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. We're more than conquerors only because of Him. That's important that we get that. Not because we have a can-do spirit in the face of adversity. I mean, you've heard me say this before, like in a Broadway musical. When you go through a storm, keep your head up high. Well, that's a lot of... I like that song. It's a fabulous song. It's a showstopper. But it's completely wrong, as Broadway almost always is. One time I can remember it being right, and it was accidental. But... or put on a happy face. I mean, I could just multiply this out. But what else does the world have? I mean, so you will get a can-do spirit in the world. You will get a, yes, we're not going to let it get us down. Don't let the turkeys get you down. Whatever. You've heard all of these things said. Is this what this is saying? No, it isn't what this is saying. No, it's not saying. There was some rap song I heard. He kept saying, smile, smile, you know. It's not that, or it's not, you know, Bobby McFerrin was he's a marvelously talented guy. But this is not, don't worry, be happy. No. If there is no God, you really should worry. No. No, this is not just the world whistling in the dark in the face of adversity. We're not more than conquerors because we just give it the old college try. We're not such because we believe in ourselves. Back to the, you know, I believe in you. The musicals are really great for this kind of stuff because they express faith in you. Faith isn't in you, it's in Jesus. We're not because we're not warranted to have faith in ourselves because there's no good thing in our flesh. The reason that we're more than conquerors in Christ and Christ alone is because He is the one who has done everything for us. You understand, He is the original more than conqueror. He came down here below. And he strove mightily against the devil, the flesh, and the world. He strove mightily against your and my enemy. And he came forth victorious. Though on the cross he cried out in the agony of his soul, though he was put to death and buried 3 days and remained under the power of death, he came forth victorious. The reason we can even talk about being more than conquerors through him is because he is victorious. This isn't about us doing something. This isn't us pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. That may be something, that may be some kind of religion, but it isn't the Christian faith. Note here, we're more than conquerors through him. The preposition is one of instrumentality. He becomes ours. He gives himself to us through the means appointed, word, sacraments, and prayer. Draw near to him, he'll draw near to you, and you will triumph through him. Undergoing trials, temptations, walk closely with him in the means he's appointed. Cry out day and night. Even if you have to come before the word and say, Lord, I can't get anything out of this. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to seek your face. Or you're in a sermon. You're in a worship service and you're hearing the sermon and you're saying, Lord, help me. I'm not getting what I should out of this. Help me. Hide it in my heart. Help me to get more out of this than I am getting or seem to have any right to get. And of course, we have the joy of being able to actually go back and listen. Previous generations couldn't do that. You can go to sermon audio and listen to sermons. That's an unspeakable blessing. I mean, use that rightly. Don't use it wrongly. It can be used wrongly. You've heard me speak about that, you know. You go hear some supposed whiz-bang pastor and you're like, oh, our preacher doesn't preach that way. Well, he doesn't even preach that way. I mean, people sometimes say, when I go into town, you know, wow, that was really good preaching. And they even will imply. And I say, well, I preached this sermon I don't know how many times. It should be okay by now. I mean, your preacher can't do that. He has to preach different things. He has to keep moving on. I can just come in here and pull out what I think is a decent sermon. And you're like, oh yeah, well, why can't he preach that way all the time? You just kind of want to do something to people. But walk closely with him in the means appointed. In drawing near to him through the appointed means, we triumph. That's how we triumph. Though we may fall many times and struggle as in Romans 7. Again, you know, you've heard me say it a billion times. Fall many times. We fall many times on the deck of the ship of life, as Spurgeon said, will not fall overboard. Get back up again and again. Press on. Press on. We're more than conquerors through him. That's what that means. This doesn't mean we don't fall. We're more than conquerors, meaning we get up. We look to him. We look to him again and again. Though we strive long and hard. Patience. Patience. Perseverance. We're in this for the long haul. You've heard me talk about how the Christian faith, yes, it's a race, but it's not a sprint. It's not even, you know, a kilometer. Oh, wait a minute, I'm down here. I can say mile. Mile. It's a marathon. We need to look to him. Well, we are more than conquerors. When? In all these things, all times, how? Through him. Why? Why are we more than conquerors? Go back to the verse. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. You say, well, is it that simple? Yeah, it's that simple and that magnificent. That he loves us. I mean, I've dusted this sermon off. I preached this sermon, I think I've only preached it once before, according to my notes, here 8 years ago. But I figure it's Thanksgiving time, and I'm going to be preaching around some of this. I'm actually preaching on more Thanksgiving when next Sunday night, talking about the thank offering. So get your checkbooks out, get your pens ready. But more than conquerors through him because he loved us. Again, the he here, though certainly referring to the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit love us, I think has particular reference to Christ, as the love of Christ is really the subject matter, as we said, of the verses. That it refers to Christ is particularly highlighted by the tense of the participle. He loved us. It's not that Christ doesn't presently and progressively and actively love us. He does. We see that beautifully when we look at the wonderful present. There's also presence here, like verse 34, who makes intercession for us. That's something worth, I have a sermon just on that. That's something worth thinking a lot about. I can remember once when I was in graduate school, I was particularly spiritually low. Things going on in graduate school were it certainly was not, it was very much opposed to the truth in the Christian faith. The program I was in was a very fine program, but the people in it were not Christians, and it could get you down. And I remember on a Sunday afternoon just listening to Joan Sutherland intone these words, "He makes intercession from Handel's Messiah," and singing, "He makes intercession for us, He makes intercession for us," and just the floodgate breaking, realizing He's praying for me right now. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, I know you guys are praying for us, and we really appreciate that. And we say to others, "I'm going to pray for you," but you know, we forget sometimes, or we're not constant. He always is. He's praying for you. I mean, that's the greatest comfort. We're hot and cold with these things. He never fails. That intercession, though, is based on His definitive, completed work for us. Verse 34 again. He died. He is raised from the dead. The same tense here as He loved in verse 37. So you feel cold and distant? Gaze upon that middle cross by faith and abide in its shadow. Look with wonder on the empty tomb. Do you doubt His love? He died for you. He was raised from the dead for you. He loves you, and nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. And as we say, He is supremely the one who is more than conqueror. Because of His love for you, He came below and conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. And He will bring us to glory. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. His love is stronger than death and will never let you go. In His death, in fact, we see the death of death, as Owen says. And because He loves us and has conquered for us, so we in Him do as well. It began back in eternity, right? It's all rooted back in eternity, verses 29 and 30. He foreknew you, meaning He foreloved you. And that's the basis of everything that follows in what the Puritans used to speak of this as in 29 and 30, the golden chain. It came to expression in redemptive history, particularly in the person and work of Christ, our Redeemer. The Father gave the Son, and the Son gave Himself, the true Akedah, the answer to Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. This has always been foretold. This has always been foreshadowed, that Jesus would come and do what He did for us. Stephen Westerholm says in his book on Paul and justification, "God allowed our sinfulness to spend all its force on the suffering Christ until, drained of all evil, it was expiated and exists no more. Our sinfulness has been defanged." I know you feel like, "Oh, no, 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 no. You don't know how strong it is. No, 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 no. You don't know how much His grace is greater than all your sin." You are more than conquerors. Sin is defanged. Yes, it troubles you. Yes, it bothers you. But it shall not and does not and cannot have dominion over you. And if your answer is in any measure, "Well, you don't know me," well, yes, I do, and that's just a response of unbelief. Because I can be the same way. I can hear the great promises promulgated from the pulpit. And you know, sometimes when we're hearing this, the enemy is right there to say, "He's not talking about you." He was talking about you a moment ago when he talked about sin. But now when he's talking about deliverance from sin and transformation and the promises of God and sin being defanged, no. That's not what's going on in you. But it is if you're looking to Christ. And in him, he freely gives us all things, as the passage talks about more broadly. Justification, sanctification, perseverance, assurance. And the Spirit, the unseen partner, applies this love in our lives existentially. God's Holy Spirit applies this love to us in our own lives so that we are more than conquerors in all these things through Him who loved us. Let us finish on this note. Christ loves us. Can anything ultimately defeat us? This is not mere wishful thinking. This is not a misbegotten triumphalism. Or, well, for you to say this, you don't get how bad my sin is. Friends, our sin is not greater than His grace. And all the tribulations of life are not stronger than His love. Revel in that love now and always. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this word and its power. And we pray, Lord, that we would not be denied its power, that we would not have a form of godliness, but have not the power thereof. Work mightily in us, Lord, so that we know both we are accepted in the Beloved and You are enabling us bit by bit to die to sin and to live to righteousness. We pray and praise You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.